Now I saw in my dream that by this time, Christiana, with her children, was got on her way, and Mercy went along with her. Their conversation began thus.
Ah, Mercy, what an unexpected favor this is, to have you join me a little way in my journey.
If the truth be known, I should like to go more than but a little way.
What? Go on pilgrimage?
Aye. If I thought there was any hope for me, I would never return to destruction again.
Well, Mercy, do cast in thy lot with me. I well know what will be the end of our pilgrimage. Indeed, my husband would not trade his inheritance for all the gold in the Spanish mines.
But I fear I shall be turned away.
Nay, such a thing the prince of that land doth never do.
But I was not invited.
Thou goest upon my invitation. Besides, he hath said himself, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Did he not have thee in mind as he spoke these words?
I would fain to hope so, but...
But what?
There have been many girls by that name.
Aye, and all that were true to their name obtained mercy too. Besides, I can hire thee as my servant, and so get you through. We will go as sisters, all things in common. Only set thy mind to go with me, and look not behind.
Oh, I want to. If only I could know that I would be accepted. If I could hear it in a dream or by a visit, then I would go on, no matter how tedious or dangerous the way.
Well then, loving Mercy, do this. Go with me to the wicket gate, and there I will further inquire for thee. And if there thou dost not meet with ample encouragement, I will let thee return. Besides that, I shall pay thee wages for thy good service. What think thee?
Methinks I will accept of thy advice. Whatever befalls, I must at the least give it a try.
Good girl, thou shalt have no cause of regret.
May the Lord of that place grant it to be so.
Then was Christiana glad at her heart, not only that she now had a companion, but also for that she had prevailed with this poor maid to fall in love with her own salvation. So they went on together. After a time, Mercy began to weep.
Wherefore weepest, my sister, so?
Alas, who can help but weep when one thinks about the loved ones and friends who remain behind in yonder doomed city? Mother, father, and dear Mariana in the nearby town of Stupidity. And what makes grief the more bitter is knowing that they have no true pastor, nor any to tell them what is to come upon them.
Ah, Mercy, thy compassion shows thee to be a true pilgrim. Thou dost weep for thy friends as my good Christian did for me. But his Lord and ours did gather up his tears and put them into his bottle. And now both I and thou and these my sweet babes are reaping the fruit and benefit of his prayers.
Indeed, doth the Lord of that place behold even our tears?
Yea, he hath said in his book that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, in singing. And he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Ah.
Therefore take heart, dear Mercy. Surely God will hear thy prayers for thy loved ones.
Oh, I hope so.
Mama, look.
Oh, no.
What?
'Tis the Slough of Despond.
Oh, my. I have heard tell of this mucky place.
Aye, 'twas here that my dear husband had like to have been smothered with mud.
And must we truly cross over this place?
Aye, there be no other way.
But I thought that the king had commanded that this slough should have a better walkway built for pilgrims.
As I understand it, so he did command. But there are many who pretend to be servants of the king, who bring to their work sticks and stubble, dirt and dung rather than solid stones. It appears that their false labors have made this place worse rather than better.
Oh, what to do? What to do?
Do we have to go back, Mama?
I know not, child.
I hope not. All my friends will mock me.
Has not the Lord invited thee?
Aye.
Surely. He would not invite thee without providing a way to conquer this place of despondency.
It would seem to be so.
Then let us venture forward. It may be that the way will open as we step into the waters.
Then we must choose to believe. Matthew.
Mother?
Loan me of thy staff called Faith. I shall use it to feel for the steps that are unseen.
Here, Mother.
Mother?
Son?
Remember that Father was told to keep his eye on yonder light when traversing difficult places.
Yes, I remember now. Then must we do the same. Eyes on the light, everyone! And now, forward!
Now I saw that just beneath the surface of the mire there were certain steps, sure and substantial, which they found with their staff. Thus they went on before, finding their way by faith.
Matthew, hold thy little brother's hand and guide his steps onto the stepping stones.
Yes, Mother.
My, look at the size of these leeches and water snakes.
Look not upon them, dear sister. They will...
Oh!
I've got thee, Mercy. Come, back onto the steps.
Oh, thank thee, Matthew.
You're welcome.
What happened?
Thou didst nearly slip off the step.
But why?
Because for a moment thou didst take thy eyes off of the light. Learn by this mistake, all of you. That light is truly a lamp unto our path. And now, forward.
Mother, wait! I am got behind and cannot see the next step.
Oh, no!
Follow in our footsteps.
I cannot, for the mire hath covered them over again. It doth all look the same.
Mother?
I know not what to do. Oh, why did we rush ahead of him so?
Joseph?
Yes?
Look to the light.
All right.
Now step ahead.
But I know not where are the steps. Which direction?
Towards the light.
But how shall I direct my feet?
Thy Lord shall direct thy feet. Only look to the light.
Well, all right, all right. Here goes. Ah, oh.
Good, Joseph. Is it solid?
Aye.
Step again.
Where?
Always towards the light.
Well, all right. Here goes. Ah.
Step again.
All right. Here goes. Ah.
Good, Joseph. Good, good, good.
He be caught up, Mother. Shall we go forward?
Aye, forward. Thank you, Mercy.
Welcome, ma'am.
My, would you look at those ugly leeches and...
Mother!
Son?
Repeat not Mercy's mistake.
You are right, my son. There is time enough to look at monsters from the far shore. Forward, pilgrims!
And so, in process of time, they got them to the other side. Then there came a voice which said,
Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Did I hear a voice?
I did.
And I.
Then how glad I am that we went forward.
Indeed, if I had as much ground to believe as you have, I think that no slough of despond would have brought me to a standstill.
Thou dost chide me for my faithlessness, but I trow that we shall both be tested upon our weakest points ere ever we come at our journey's end.
Indeed?
How can it be any other way? Thinkest thou that those who hate us will let us pass freely from death to life? Nay, but I trow that they shall tempt us with all the fears and afflictions that evil ones know all too well how to apply.
The bitter before the sweet?
Aye, and seeing that the peace and happiness we seek is so great, how can it be otherwise?
Now, Having gotten over the slough by faith and by beholding the light, they journeyed on until they came to the great gate that stands at the head of the way. Here they began to debate about what to do next.
Whoa!
Some gate, eh, James?
Aye, but it has no latch pull on this side. How shall we enter?
Let us call out for help. Hey!
No, that is not the proper way.
Well, how do you know?
Look over the gate.
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That sounds simple enough.
Aye, but who shall do the knocking?
Your mother is the eldest, and it is upon her letter and dreams that we all hope to gain entrance. Therefore, I move that she knock and gain admission for the rest of us.
All right. No answer.
Try again, and louder.
Still no answer.
I hear a big dog.
A big dog?
It sounds to be just within the gate.
Did Father meet with such a huge dog when he came?
I heard that he met with many fiery arrows from yonder castle, but I recall nothing about a dog so fierce as this one sounds to be. Oh, I'd be greatly tumbled up and down in my mind what to do. I fear to knock because of the vile cur, and yet we dare not return, lest the keeper of the gate should pronounce us unworthy servants. Oh, what to do?
I'm afraid. Let's go back.
Nay, we cannot.
But certainly we cannot afford to spend the night here on the hillside.
What saith the sign over the door?
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Wait!
What is it?
There comes flashing into my mind this thought, that those who defer obedience till every shadow of uncertainty disappears, and there remains no risk of failure or defeat, will never obey at all.
An inspired thought, this.
Then I say we go forward, for it comes into my mind that the path where God leads the way may lie through the desert or the sea, but it is a safe path.
Aye, let us believe the promise of him who sent the words of gold. Let us knock again.
Hip, hip, hurrah!
I shall not be driven back by mere noise in my ears when my eye can behold the promise of God. Wretched hound! Matthew!
Mother!
Thy staff in my hand, please.
Here you are.
Thank you. Now we shall apply some faith to this problem. Wretched hound!
Away, vile cur! Who goes there?
He answers. Oh my, is my appearance worthy?
As best can be expected for a traveling woman. And I?
The same. Here, Mercy, hold the staff. Now stand thee back a bit.
Who is there?
Weary pilgrims, seeking the heavenly country.
Then enter thou in, madam.
Dear sir, let not my lord be offended with his handmaidens for knocking so rudely at thy gate.
Nay, not at all, for from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Ah, then I need not be ashamed.
Nay, God is well pleased to have his pilgrims attack his kingdom with faith and expectation of answer. But do tell, whence come ye, and what is it that ye would have?
We are come from whence Christian came, and upon the same errand as he.
Which?
To be admitted into the way that leads to the celestial city.
Ah, and what be thy name?
My name be Christiana. I was once the wife of Christian that is now gotten into heavenly places.
What? Is she now become a pilgrim that once did mock and deride God's chosen one?
Aye, thanks only to the tender mercies of God. And these, my sweet babes, are come also.
Well, blessings upon you. Blessings. Do come in. Come in, boys. Come in. Glad we are to have you. Oh, come in, little one, come in.
Thank you, sir.
Here, let me shut the gate now.
But... Oh, no.
Servant.
Sir.
Call the musicians. Tell them to make a joyful noise upon their instruments. Let this dear woman and her sons feel a small taste of the joy that now doth fill the heavenly places. Have also thy companions join thee in the choir and make this place to ring.
Yes, sir. Gladly.
Now, all this while, poor Mercy did stand without, trembling and crying, for fear that she was rejected. But no sooner had Christiana gotten admittance for her family than she began to make intercession for Mercy.
My lord, I have a companion of mine that stands yet without.
Indeed?
Yes, sir. She is much dejected in her mind because I was invited upon this way by word and pen, but she comes only upon my word. Please, good sir. Oh!
Who is there?
It is my friend.
Well, then we must let her in.
Ah, she be all fallen down in a faint. Oh, poor dear. She was afraid that the gate would not be opened unto her. Mercy, Mercy. Tis I, your friend Christiana.
Here, let me take her hand. Damsel, I bid thee arise.
Oh, sir, I am faint. There is scarce life left in me.
Oh, one would not have known it to judge from the vigor of thy knocking.
I was afraid you might not hear.
No fear for that. In this place, we hear the faintest knocking of the weakest child. Yet we are well pleased when someone makes these doors to quiver as thou hast done. Come, come, I shall help thee up.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, pray tell, dear one, wherefore didst thou fear?
I feared that I was presumptuous.
For why?
Because I seek to enter a kingdom to which I was not invited.
What? Not invited?
No, sir. Christiana hath had dreams and visitors, even a letter all written gold. But I have my invitation only upon her word. That, sir, is why I fear. And when I was left without, why, my fears did seem confirmed. And when I heard the trumpets blowing for my companions and not for me, I thought, oh, surely I'm left behind and lost. And then when there was a delay, oh, every minute did seem like an hour. Yet I resolved to obey the words over the door and make one last attempt upon the kingdom of heaven before I should faint for fear.
Oh, wherefore didst thou fear, oh, thou of little faith?
What?
Knowest thou not that an invitation from one of the king's subjects is regarded here as if coming from the king himself?
Indeed?
Yea.
Then there is grace and forgiveness to spare?
Aye. There is grace and forgiveness enough for every child of Adam that ever breathed there, and enough besides for a million times more.
And I may be a partaker of said mercy?
Of course. The king of this place is in the business of saving souls.
Why then doth rumor have it that the king is stern and pleased to make the way to his city difficult?
Ah, 'tis not the king, but the enemy of souls that doth hedge up the way with such lies as these. But only believe, and thou mayest come off as more than conqueror.
Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Now, come thou in.
Thank you.
Let a bundle of myrrh be given this damsel to smell, that she faint not again.
Christiana, look, I am let in.
I knew he would accept of you. Didn't I tell you, boys?
Uh-huh.
Glad we are to have you along with us, dear Mercy.
Why, thank you, Matthew. Happy I am to be along.
Sir?
Yes?
We want all of us to express sorrow for our sins of former times. We beg of our Lord his pardon.
Thy Lord is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee.
Bless you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
You are welcome. But we also wish to thank thee for bringing joy to us.
Joy?
Us?
Yea. Knowest thou not that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? And here we have not only one, but six.
Now I saw in my dream that he spake many good and kind words to them, by the which they were greatly cheered. He also had them up to the top of the gate, from whence they could see, afar off, a cross standing upon a skull-shaped hill, and there was one hanging thereon.
Oh, my Lord, is it for such as I that he doth suffer so?
Aye, this is the price that was paid for thy soul, for thou art precious in his sight.
Oh, bless him, bless him.
Oh, that we might never forget the value of the human soul.
This skull-shaped hill is set in such a place as to be seen as well from the end of your journey as at the beginning.
Indeed? Why?
Because pride and self-worship can never take root in the soul that doth keep fresh in mind the scenes of Calvary.
Ah.
But come to the arbor. It is now bedecked with all manner of fruits and perfumes to strengthen you in your journey.
Ah, lovely it is. It seems as though we be come in at heaven's gate.
Nay. But this small arbor is only a wee token of that great feast yet to be. There at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you shall be served by the King himself, and dwell securely, and nevermore go out. But here you may partake of some of the grapes of that land, which do hang over the wall for your encouragement.